welcome to the Sports Fathers, episode 37, recorded on the 17th of November, 2014, Sad Trombone. In this episode, we talk about the NFL. Some teams are awesome, some not so much. We talk about the CFL playoffs that are underway. Oh, so sad. And the NHL continues on. All that and more next. And we're back for another episode of the Sports Fathers. Snow is on the ground. The wind chill is up. And so it's a good day to stay indoors, watch some sports, and then pretend like we actually know what we're talking about by recording a podcast. I'm Father Daryl Millett in Watson, Saskatchewan, snowy Watson, Saskatchewan. And I'm joined this evening by Father Corey Stika in Malta, Montana. Hello, Father Corey.
Hello, hello. Also snowy Malta, Montana.
I was going to ask about that, if I should introduce it as snowy or not. I assume Montana is probably a safe bet, though.
Yeah, well, you know, we're close enough together that we get fairly similar climate, and I think we're probably pretty close in temperature, too. But
Yay. Yeah, so exciting. Exactly. Well, there's not been an awful lot happening in the wide world of sports, so let's get right at it. And I'd like to start off with some breaking news coming out of the NFL, all right? So we got some breaking news coming out of the NFL. The Oakland Raiders have not won a game yet.
Yeah, 0-10 for the season. And how long has it been since they've won a game?
So the reason I bring this up today is that apparently, according to the paper, the Star Phoenix, the Saskatoon newspaper, it's been 1 year to the day that they've last won a game.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Hence the sad trombone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny that I remember back in, was it the 70s and the 80s, Oakland was like the team to cheer for. The Raiders were, I mean, you cheered for the Raiders because they were the bad boys of football, and you know, maybe they didn't win Super Bowls or anything like that, but they were the team to follow. Now they're kind of a joke.
I mean, like I'm looking at the CBS Sports playoff tracker, which shows almost every team is still alive, technically, except for one. They've been officially mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. Just in case there was any doubt.
If they actually win a game.
You never know. I mean, like, for example, Tampa Bay, they're 2-8. Mm-hmm. They still are mathematically alive.
Well, looking at their division, not a shock.
Yeah.
The entire NFC South is below 500 for a record.
Yes. Yeah. No, they're not not looking good. Oh, and I saw in the AFC, Jacksonville's only got one win. So I guess one win will keep you alive, mathematically speaking.
They could beat Oakland.
Yay. That sounds really, 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 really good. Anyway, but there's actually some teams doing pretty well in the NFL. I suppose we don't have to dwell on the bottom dwellers necessarily.
No. Of course, it's kind of funny. Some of the teams that you think would do better tend to lose to the bottom dwellers instead of the, like, say, Denver this weekend losing to 4-6 St. Louis.
It's funny how that works out, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. And of course, I am a Denver fan. I like following Denver, but I don't know what's going on there. But the last couple of games, they have not been anywhere near as hot as they can be. So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. You know, like football can be such a, I don't know, a streaky sort of a sport. I don't know if that's the proper word, but you know, basically where you can get on these rolls where you start winning and you get this incredible momentum, or you can have the reverse happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's strange to watch some of these teams all of a sudden. Well, like here's like New England. They've won six in a row. Of course, you kind of expect that for the Patriots. They tend to be one of the top contenders regularly. Yes. But then, you know, you got other teams that haven't been doing so hot.
Yes. I know Father Kyle, who's usually on this podcast, his Saints are 4-6.
Yeah, I know he's not happy about that.
Yeah, and then Father Travis, his Vikings are also 4-6. So, yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag there, I guess. But according to CBS, they're still mathematically alive.
Yeah, well, Like I said, when you're the tied for the top of your division at 4-6, I guess you could be alive. Whether or not you go past your division is a whole nother story.
No kidding.
What's kind of amazing to me is the Arizona Cardinals this year, 9-1. They're just, they're dominating the league right now. They've got the highest, they got the highest percentage right now.
That's incredible. I'm just looking at some of the games that happened this past weekend.
Yeah, of course. Right now, as we're recording, it's Monday Night Football, and it's the Steelers versus the Tennessee Titans. Yeah, not a very exciting game.
Hey, that's why we're recording, right? Right now. That's so lovely. I see that in the game the Chiefs played against Seattle, Jamal Charles ran for 159 yards. That's pretty good.
That's impressive. Very impressive.
Especially, pretty nice.
Kansas City's had a good season this year. And they're a contender. They're very much a contender.
And they have made fans out of everyone in Saskatchewan, because for the first part of the season, they had a receiver, Weston Dressler, on the practice roster, trying out for the team. And then they eventually let him go. Dressler's a pretty small player. He's about 5'7". And he was a star in the CFL, which I think is a little more suited to his style of play. Mm. And so the Chiefs let him go, and he returned to Saskatchewan and basically did awesome again. So the Chiefs made fans out of everyone in Saskatchewan. They gave us Weston Dressler back. Yay. Anyway. Yeah, the NFL.
Yeah, it's kind of right in the middle of the season right now. It's, I think most teams have played 10 games or are approaching 10 games, 9 or 10 games, depending on how they're, how their bye weeks have laid. So we're getting towards the end, but it's kind of right in the middle. So there's really not a lot going on. Teams are trying to keep their good players healthy. And I think that's part of what Denver's problem is they are losing some of their good players. It's kind of not really a lot going on right now.
So in the NFL, is there in the season typically one bye week for each team?
Or? Is it one or two? I can't remember which off the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah, the CFL used to have one. They just went to two this past year.
Yeah, I want to say it's actually, is it a 17? I'm sure somebody listening is going to be screaming at us right now. I can't remember if it's a 17-week schedule or if it's an 18-week. Okay, I looked it up. It is a 17-week schedule. So I think they do get just one.
Okay. Remember what I said at the beginning of the show?
Yeah.
We pretend like we know what we're talking about. We're so thankful that you're listening to us.
It looks like it is just 1 week for the bye week. So,
okay.
Wonders of Google to help you understand this, how many is it?
Yeah. It's not like we should do any research before we talk or anything.
Nah, where's the fun in that?
Exactly. Anyway. Yeah. So, Lots still to come in the NFL, and we'll see. Maybe maybe I just jinx the Raiders, and they'll win from here on out.
Well, that's your.
I love your reaction to that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny if they actually, win.
Yeah, who knows? So I'm assuming it's not unheard of for a team to have a winless season at some point.
No, it's not. I know it's happened before. I don't remember. I'm trying to remember what teams have done it, but it's been done before. I want to say St. Louis Rams were one of them at one point, but that may not be the case. The Oakland is playing Denver the last game of the season. That'll be the one they win.
Oh yeah. Well, especially if it's a playoffs, like the playoffs coming up, then Denver might want to rest some players or something.
Yeah. Just let them have it.
Yeah.
Not feel so bad for them.
I remember a few years ago, the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the CFL. Well, this is probably about maybe 15 years ago or so. They won one game all season, and we felt so terrible because it was against Saskatchewan.
Oh, jeez.
Like, oh, come on. Really? You lose to that squad?
Yeah, I don't know what's worse, being the team with, the one win record or being the team that lost to the one win record.
It wasn't fun being, actually the Riders have been on either side of that. It's not fun either way.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's fun to pile on teams that get that though.
Exactly.
I mean, very, very charitably, of course.
Yeah. Well, it's funny as in any other level. I mean, you could, for example, you could probably take the Raiders and move them to something like the CFL, and they may actually do a lot better than they are in the NFL. But it's just the level of competition at the NFL is so intense that some of these teams just can't keep up. And apparently it's Oakland's year and a half or so for that.
Well, with the CFL only having 9 teams, if you do really bad for years and years in a row, that is really bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it should only take you maybe 2 seasons to rebuild your team, kind of thing, because there's just not that much going around.
Rebuild something out of it, right?
But actually, there is a connection to the CFL with the Raiders, too, because the Rough Riders, they had their star running back last season, Corey Sheets, who he ran for 197 yards in the Grey Cup victory last year.
Wow.
And he was picked up by the Raiders and was actually apparently doing fairly well with the Raiders, but then he got hurt in the preseason.
Oh,
and his season was done. So a little bit of a connection there. That's obviously why they've been doing so bad, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, usually that's what it is, though, is they can develop a team, but if somebody gets hurt the wrong time, that's it.
And when we talk about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, we'll get right into that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dear. Why don't we talk about the CFL? So yesterday was a huge day for the CFL. That was the first games of the playoffs were played yesterday, this past Sunday. So in the Eastern Conference semifinal, we had the Montreal Alouettes hosting the BC Lions. Yeah, BC, the westernmost team in the country, if not in the westernmost pro sports team in the continent. They were playing in the Eastern playoffs. So that's that funky little rule that's in the CFL, where if you are the fourth place team in your own division and you do better than the third place team in the other division, you cross over to the other division for the playoffs. So the BC Lions beat, I guess they had a better record than the Toronto Argonauts, who are the third place team in the East.
How'd you like to be the team, though, that's in your division and going, yeah, we lost out to a place from the other division. We didn't get to playoff because the other division did better than us.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of the nature of the league this year, the past few years, actually. Like, you were talking about the NFL earlier with the NFC South being so, well, for the lack of a better word, brutal this year.
Mm-hmm.
In the East, for a good chunk of this season in the CFL, were kind of like that. There was one point, I think, like 3-4 weeks into the season, all the Eastern team combined only had like 3 wins or something. it was kind of a gong show. Now, it turned around in the second half of the season, for sure. But anyway, it's hard to overcome a start like that, though.
Well, and it doesn't help much when your entire division, the best record is 500, so 9-9.
Oh, yeah. That
doesn't help matters much.
Deserves a golf clap for sure. So the Montreal Alouettes were, because they were second place in the East, and so they were hosting, well, the fourth place BC Lions from the West. So BC came over to Montreal and they played in that game, but I'm going to use the word played in a very generous and charitable sense, because Montreal blew out the BC Lions 50-17.
Wow.
And that's 17 points were mostly in garbage time.
Like, we've won. We're going to let them have a few just so it doesn't look so bad type of win.
Or just rest up. Don't get hurt, because we have another game next week, obviously.
A more important one, probably.
Yeah. Like, it was, oh my goodness. I missed watching most of the game because, Sunday, church mm-hmm. and stuff. So I did miss watching most of the game, but I did catch highlights and did some reading about it. And so actually in the second quarter of the game, get this, it was only 1-0 for Montreal.
Jeez.
In the second quarter. So, and it ended 50-17. So the BC defense, by all accounts, actually played pretty well, even though, I mean, they obviously ran out of gas in the second half. But when you're always on the field, I guess what else can you do?
Yeah. Well, that's one of those things where the offense has to step up. If the offense is constantly, well, in your case, two and out, you know, we see three and out in the NFL, but two and out in the CFL, that doesn't work too well.
No, two and outs and turnovers and all that kind of stuff. You know, and Montreal, speaking of teams that did turn it around over the course of the season, Montreal, their record in the first eight games was a blistering 1-7.
Ouch.
And they came back for a 9-9 season.
Nice.
So that shows you where the momentum is, you know, speaking of momentum, where the momentum was in that division.
Sure.
Because they turned it up. And, you know, they struggled with some injuries. Their star running back, Brandon Whitaker, went down early in the season. And they tried out one quarterback, and he didn't work out at all. And they end up getting this Jonathan Crompton guy in there. And he has actually really come into his own in the second half of the season. And so he's been playing really well. Beautiful mullet hairdo. Oh, business in the front, party in the back, the whole thing. But yeah, they've really come along, and they're actually a pretty scary looking team right now.
Nice.
They've got a solid defense, and well, hey, they beat out the BC Lions 50-17. So that's, you don't do that by being lucky.
Mm-hmm. So you think they got a chance next weekend?
I think they do. Next weekend, I think we're in for a pretty good game. So the Hamilton Tiger Cats, they're another team that's actually come along quite well in the second half. Hamilton was actually in the Grey Cup last year.
Mm.
They lost pretty convincingly to the Rough Riders. that gets another golf clap for that one. But the Hamilton Tiger Cats, you know, they've also had an interesting second half of the season. Now, they played the first half of the season not in their own building, because they did not have a completed building.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So the CFL, they were building a new stadium, and in order to do it, they had to tear down the old one. So last year they played at the University of Guelph, a fairly small stadium, and they were hoping it would just be like a 1-year temporary sort of a deal. But when the beginning of this season came around, it wasn't ready yet. So they played at another university stadium, and then finally halfway through this year, they could start playing in their new facility. And they have not lost a game in their new building.
Nice.
So, you know, I guess it kind of makes sense. If you don't really have a home, then I don't know do you really have a home game? I guess you got fans, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think the Vikings in the NFL are trying to figure that one out, because they're waiting for their new stadium to be built. But I have to wonder, though, when teams do that, if that is kind of a hardship for them, because it's really not their stadium. It's really not their locker room. It's really not, you know, their facilities. And if that, even if it's psychological, if that's an issue.
Yeah. Or, you know, even you don't have your own practice facility necessarily, or if you've got to truck your equipment around or whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I wonder if that does affect the team's mindset, even if it really doesn't affect their play. At least it shouldn't affect their play, but just the mindset of, this really isn't our home.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I mean, I've never played sports at any high level like that, so
no.
To really know anything about that, but I could imagine it being that way. It's like if I was an itinerant preacher going from church to church, I wouldn't know what to do. Well, okay, maybe that's not a good example. I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah, but I think I could see that happening. I know some of the commentators up here who've actually played the game, they've commented that this is actually the case, that actually having your own practice facility and everything makes a huge difference.
Oh, sure.
So, so that should be a good game, though. I mean, both of those teams have kind of been coming along the second half of the season, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's this upcoming Sunday, this game, both of the semifinal games this upcoming Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The BC Lions, on the other hand, they've struggled with some injuries, notably to their star quarterback, Travis Lule. He had surgery in the off season, came back, re-injured it.
Oh, wow.
I don't think he needs surgery to fix it again, but it, you know, it knocked him out, and they're obviously going to be very careful about it. Something to do with his throwing arm or shoulder or something like that. So it's pretty serious.
Yeah.
They got Kevin Glenn, who was kind of an a very established veteran in the league in quarterback, but well, they lost 50-17. So
yeah,
I don't know how much more you could say about that. Their defense is pretty solid. Special teams have always been good, but yeah, if you can't move the ball well, it's going to be hard to win a game.
Exactly.
And then in the West, oh, sigh.
Your heart is broken.
Our hearts are broken in Rider Nation. Oh, so sad. So sad. So, yeah. So for, you know, Father Travis and Father Jeff and myself, you know, those other two priests who are usually on this podcast from Saskatchewan, we were all, of course, intently watching this yesterday. Another priest who's often on this show, Father Andrew in Alberta, I think he's far happier than we are because his Edmonton Eskimos hosted our Saskatchewan Rough Riders in the Western semifinal yesterday afternoon. And they defeated us 18-10, but I will say that score really flatters the Riders. It shouldn't have been that close.
I was going to say, looking at the score, especially the fact that it was a scoreless fourth, that it sounds like, or at least it looks like it should have been a fairly evenly matched game.
Well, okay, this gives a good indication of how well the Saskatchewan defense was playing. Because get this, the quarterback that started the game for the Riders, 41-year-old Kerry Joseph, who had just come out of retirement to help out the Riders, because our quarterback injured himself back in September, Darian Durant. So they struggled with backups and whatever. So they brought this Kerry Joseph out of retirement. Still doing pretty good. And, you know, he obviously was in fairly good shape and he still had a good arm on him. Kerry Joseph threw 5 interceptions, 4 of them in the first half.
Ouch.
The Riders only gave up 18 points and 7 of those points were the result of a punt return touchdown. So, the defense really played well. They held them to no touchdowns. Even after 5 interceptions.
Ouch.
So the Saskatchewan defense did amazing. The special teams were brutal. Yeah, I mean, you allow a punt return touchdown, which they've done a lot this season. They've allowed a lot, I should say.
Sure.
And the offense, well, they didn't do much.
They were kind of offensive, huh? Oh,
yeah. Well, that's where's my I can't find my. Oh, crickets. Sure. Why not? I was trying to find my rim shot. There we go. There's this new app I've got for these sound effects, you know, to try to make a sound professional.
Yeah. It's going to take a little more than an app, I think, but hey,
exactly. Hey, if we can't say anything important, may as well try to sound good.
Yeah. I think that's most talk radio, isn't it? Oh, I mean,
hey, I found that. I can use it again.
There you go.
All right.
And that's how all of Saskatchewan felt yesterday.
I should try to borrow the sound effect that from the other show, that one of the other shows that you're on, Father Corey, Catholic Weekend over at SQPN.com. Oh, yes. Because Captain Jeff, the host of that show, has got this incredible train wreck sound effect. Love it. That'd be good for us.
You'll have to get him to email that to you. It's perfect.
Yeah, it'd be good for us.
Well, of course, actually, it kind of says something about Catholic Weekend. I think it used every episode.
It also says something about the offense yesterday.
Yeah.
The game train wreck. Yeah.
So are you surprised though by how it's shaping up?
No, not really. I mean, once Darian Durant went down, I mean, once you lose your starting quarterback, you know, all-star quarterback, it's hard to recover. And the Riders just never had another capable guy, you know, ready to go. They had a few young guys, but they were, you know, clearly not quite ready for that role yet. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe give him another year or two, who knows, but yeah, when you got to go and pull a 41-year-old out of retirement, doesn't bode well.
Yeah, that's not sounding well.
Now, speaking of backups, though, the Edmonton Eskimos actually started the game with their backup quarterback, Matt Nichols, because Mike Riley, their starter, was injured. Now, Riley did come in for a few series in the game, and I think the two different styles of the two different quarterbacks really did help, but Riley obviously wasn't as mobile as he normally is. Sure. So for next week, Edmonton will be traveling down the road to Calgary. I think I mean, I'll cheer for Edmonton out of principle because I can't cheer for Calgary. but I will admit, I will be very surprised if Edmonton pulls off the upset. Calgary had a 14-4 season. They were just the class of the league. There's just no question.
So even though you're not a fan of Calgary, are you willing to predict them to take it all?
I am willing. You've heard it here first. I'm willing to predict. We got some breaking news. I predict a Grey Cup of the Calgary Stampeders and the Montreal Alouettes, and the Calgary Stampeders will repeat as they did in 2008. 2008, they beat Montreal as well for the Grey Cup. But, you know, I could be like totally wrong. Both of those teams could not make it. So that's still possible.
Well, that's just it. I mean, that's kind of the fun part about a lot of playoff postseason games. You could have a big surprise. Edmonton could decide they're going to beat Calgary and they do, or, you know, Hamilton even, and just decide we're going to go.
Well, and in football, you're one play away from a big injury too, right? So
exactly.
Knock somebody out. Calgary, speaking of injuries, Calgary did play a number of games without their star running back, John Cornish. I think Cornish missed like 4 or 6 games. He still ran for over 1,000 yards.
Wow.
That indicates how amazing he is.
Yeah.
I did just see a report from the head coach, John Huffnagel. Cornish will be in this playoff game. So it's good news for the Stampeders, not good news for the Eskimos.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. But anyway, so those games are coming up this upcoming weekend, and I'm looking forward to them. Even though my Riders aren't in it, I am looking forward to it in a way that almost kind of takes down the stress level a bit. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy the football.
Yeah. It's fun to watch pro sports when they get to this level, whether it's football or hockey or baseball or whatever it is, when they get to this point where it's, you know, it's the best teams in the league and you're just, who wins it all? It's kind of that question.
Yeah. And like you say, in these one game playoffs, anything can happen any given Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Game of inches.
Exactly.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. Shout out to Father Jeff, who finally got me to watch that movie. He's like, enough. He kept making these references and I wasn't getting them. And he said, enough, let's sit down and watch this thing.
There you go.
Anyway. All right. So we got a few minutes left. Let's look at a little bit of hockey really quickly. So in the NHL, most of the teams have played just under 20 games. There's been a handful of teams that have played 20 games. So call it just about a quarter of the season in. And there's some definite front runners showing up in this one. In the Western Conference, you got teams like St. Louis Blues, who've been pretty good for the last few seasons. They're 12-4-1. Nashville Predators, now they have been doing really well. 11-4-2. You got Anaheim 11-4-4, so they've played 19 games. Mm-hmm. My Calgary Flames, now oddly enough, I can't stand the Calgary Stampeders in the CFL, but the Calgary Flames in the NHL, I followed them for like 30 years or so. And they are shockingly 11 wins, 6 losses, and 2 overtime losses.
So they're right in the middle of it.
They are. And they got a young team and I love watching them play. They got some young guys who they just got speed and tons of tenacity. And I just like watching them play. Almost like the blue collar kind of
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little more hard nosed than some of the other player or teams might, huh?
Yeah. I mean, they've also been benefiting from a really hot goalie right now. Hiller has been doing amazing. But I mean, the fact that the Calgary Flames have a better record than the Los Angeles Kings, you know, the defending Stanley Cup champions at this point, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then the Montreal Canadiens, 14 wins.
Wow.
14-4-1 in the Atlantic. So they've been playing really well, as have the Tampa Bay Lightning. So very, very similar to last season in that way. Those two teams are right up there. Boston started slowly, but they've been coming on a little bit more lately. They lost a big blowout loss to a game in Toronto a few days ago. But my dog was shaking her head at that. I don't know if you could just hear that there. Yeah, she my dog does not cheer for Toronto at all. Can't blame her. Father Corey, do you follow any particular teams?
You know, I don't follow as closely as I used to. And mainly when I was a kid, I used to love watching Minnesota, but that was when it was still the Minnesota North Stars.
Yes.
Before they betrayed Minnesota and went to warmer climates. So I haven't watched much closely. I do kind of watch Minnesota, Colorado, and St. Louis, because those are all towns I've had or cities I've had some affiliation with. And of the three, only St. Louis is really doing the best. But
yeah, Colorado, they had a good year last year with that young team of theirs, but not so much right now.
Yeah, they got kind of a losing record. That's not good.
No, I mean, lots of time to turn these things around yet, but yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see if they maybe trade Jerome Iginla at some point or something. I don't know. Iginla, he has been, after he left Calgary, he's been kind of bouncing from team to team to try to find a winning team so he can get a Stanley Cup. That's not working out this year so far.
Kind of funny when players do that. Most of the time it doesn't work.
No. I mean, the worst was probably a few years ago, Marian Hossa. He was on, he was on the Pittsburgh Penguins. They made it to the finals against the Detroit Red Wings, and Detroit won. The following year, he went to Detroit. Detroit and Pittsburgh again made it to the finals. Pittsburgh won. And then the year after that, he went to, that would have been the first one for Chicago. So he went to Chicago, and Chicago made it to the final, and they finally won. But can you imagine if he had lost three in a row? That would have been just, I don't know.
That'd been time. I quit.
Yeah, I mean, great at making it to the final, but I almost felt kind of bad for him. I was kind of happy to see him finally win. Anyway. Yeah, so the NHL's carrying along. The Minnesota Wild's pretty close to you, so they have a winning record.
Looks like they're not doing too bad. They're not doing the greatest, but they're kind of hanging in the middle there.
Yes.
What do you think about the fact that Winnipeg is actually kind of hanging in there a little bit too?
Hey, I want to see them do well. I mean, I was very happy to see them get a team back. That's a good hockey city.
But, oh yeah.
They'd lost the Jets back in the mid-90s. Mm. They became the Phoenix Coyotes, now the Arizona Coyotes.
Oh, sure.
And then Atlanta, I guess the Atlanta Thrashers weren't doing so hot there, so they were bought by a group in Winnipeg and moved up north and called the Jets. So the Jets are still in Arizona, but now they're also in Winnipeg, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yes. So
yeah, it's always kind of weird when these teams move around. You know, it's trying to figure out which is which, and should you really even count, you know, for example, in baseball, the Washington Expos, I mean the Montreal Nationals, whatever they are now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or how many teams has like Seattle had in the NBA? And
oh boy, yeah, I know. It seems like these teams are always coming and going. But yeah, it's now, how long has Winnipeg had their new team?
Oh, this is what I think their third year they've played there.
So they're getting it. Look, well, if at least with this snapshot of the standings, it looks like they're starting to get their team established.
Yeah. No, I mean, they had been in Atlanta for a good 10 years or so before that. So it's the same franchise that just moved north. But
it's still, I know it seems to affect teams that when they move, they don't always take up where they left off. You know, it does affect the teams.
No, that's true. Yeah, I could see that. It's like if we move to a different parish, it takes some time to get settled. I don't know.
Exactly.
Cause that's obviously just like it is for pro sports, you know,
absolutely not. No.
you get traded to another parish for an associate and two seminarians or something.
Yeah. But unfortunately, unlike them, we can't negotiate our salaries.
This is true. The salary cap is already kind of in place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, maybe I better quit there before we get into too much trouble or something.
We'll both get calls from our bishops. What were you talking about trading salary caps?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, Bishop.
Yeah. Speaking of, well, actually, absolutely nothing that we were just talking about. feedback from Bishop. And actually, we had some feedback from a listener. Nice. I don't think Scott is a bishop. He never said that he was. So, hey, if Scott, if you're a bishop, sorry, I'm not addressing you properly, but Scott was just commenting on our last episode where we were talking about the World Series, and he said, and I fully agree with him, he really wanted to see Kansas City win the World Series.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree 100%. I think they were due, of course, as a St. Louis fan who watched the team lose to the Giants. I really didn't want to see the Giants get it. But no, I would have loved to have seen the Kansas City St. Louis World Series. And yes, of course, at that point, I would want to see St. Louis win, but to see Kansas City do it this year would have been fantastic.
Yeah, the Giants have had their fun already. Let somebody else.
Exactly.
Then he said, as for next year, I think the Cubs should have a really good chance, or should have a good chance, he said.
That's going to be interesting. I've been hearing about some of the trades they've got going on, and they have a possibility if they can build the team up. But the Cubs have done that before where they've gotten a good manager and they've built up a good team, and then last half of the season, forget it. And just something about that team. Of course, my theology studies were in the Chicago area, so I got to know a lot of Cubs fans, and they tell you what Cubs stands for. Okay. Completely useless by September.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Kind of like the Blue Jays the last few years.
Yeah, that's about it.
Basically, since they've won the World Series, they haven't amounted to a whole lot. I mean, that's only been, what, 21 years ago?
Oh, is that all? Oh, gee, that's just yesterday. Yeah, pretty at least much. According to the Cubs.
I mean, you know, compared to like the 2,000 year history of the church, or, you know, the 14 billion year history of the universe, it's nothing.
Not blink of the eye.
Nothing.
Yes. Toronto fans getting used to the sayings, always next year?
Yeah, just like us Rider fans have been used to for a long time. Yes. Yes, we are an Advent people. We live in hope.
There we go.
And Scott also said for hockey, he picks the Blackhawks, which could happen. I mean, they're
not in it right now.
They are 10-7-1. And I mean, once the Blackhawks get to the playoffs, that seems to be where they do the most damage. Lots of playoff experience on that team.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Two Stanley Cups in recent years. Yeah, I'd never count them out. Go Flames. But yeah, I'd never count out the Blackhawks. Anyway, thank you for joining once again, Father Corey.
Oh, always a pleasure.
It's been a lot of fun. And dear listeners, please let us know what your thoughts are about the CFL playoffs, about the NFL. Will Oakland win a game this year? Maybe even put in a prediction of when they will win their next game. You can put it in terms of days or months or years or whatever. Who's going to win the Grey Cup? Do you agree with my prediction, my very bold prediction? Yeah, let us know. Head over to thesportsfathers.com and leave a comment, or go over to our Facebook or Twitter. It's all over there, thesportsfathers.com. And with that, keep your stick on the ice in the words of Red Green, and have a great day.